Well, take your Bible and open for a few moments to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Of course, a couple of days from now is October the 31st. And for the last time this month, I want to give you just for a few moments an exhortation concerning the Reformation that happened so long ago. It was on October 31st, 1517, where Martin Luther, an Augustinian monk, nailed that 95 theses to the castle church door there in Germany. And that became one of the launch pads for that Protestant Reformation that's so famous today. Philip Schaff said that the Protestant Reformation was the turning point in all of modern history. And that's quite a statement. He said every forward movement in history was ushered along by the Reformation, whether it's education, politics, business, literature, religion, etc. And it made Protestantism, he said, the chief propelling force in the history of modern civilization. So the American experiment that we participate in today would not be possible without the Protestant Reformation.
That's right.
And before the Reformation in the 1500s, organized Christianity was very different than it is today and than it was back in its earliest days. This was known as the Dark Ages, when the Roman Catholic doctrine dominated the land. The Bible, which was written to the common man, had been snatched away from his grasp and its contents known only to an elite few. It was written in Latin and nobody knew Latin. Sermons were preached in Latin, and again, nobody knew Latin. A man and a woman didn't have a Bible. They couldn't follow along. They didn't understand. And thus, the Dark Ages were dominant at that time. Enter the Reformers, a band of highly educated and industrious men who were converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached in pulpits. They taught in universities. They translated the Bible. They confronted popes. They challenged kings. They wrote commentaries. They pastored churches. They launched reforms. These men changed worship as we know it. They wrote hymns. They completely altered Western civilization. Amen. One such man I want to introduce you to is the father of the English language himself. The father of the English Reformation. And the father of the English Bible, William Tyndale. If you have an English Bible in your hand, you owe a great debt of thanks to this man named William Tyndale. An amazing gift that he gave to us. He gave a gift and paid a price that no one else did. He gave us an English Bible. He paid the price with his life. Luther and Calvin didn't do that, but this man did. He was born in 1490, and he graduates in 1512 with a Bachelor of Arts degree. He has a master's from Oxford. He's a brilliant man. He's fluent in 8 different languages. I mean, this man is a linguistic genius, and God was preparing him before he was converted to play the part and to play the role for the Reformation, to train him. He goes to Cambridge in England, and he wants to study some more. And while he's there, this man named Erasmus is lecturing. And he travels through Europe, and Erasmus gathers all these manuscripts together from the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, and he puts together the first ever Greek New Testament called the Textus Receptus. We've talked about that before. Martin Luther's converted by reading this Greek New Testament. Erasmus laid the egg that Luther hatched later on.
Amen.
Nearly every reformer used Erasmus's New Testament text, this compilation of Greek manuscripts and Hebrew manuscripts, in order to bring the Bible into the modern language. This was a translation, this was the recovery of manuscripts blessed by God. And then in 1517, you had the indulgence controversy where Luther nails his thesis on the door. And then in 1519, Luther is converted in Germany. And as Luther is converted, he's preaching, he's writing, and his works make it across the English Channel to a small group Bible study in Cambridge. And at this Bible study, these young men in their early 20s, there's a group of them who are studying the Bible, reading Luther's works. And they're encountering things they've never heard before. That happened to me. I'm reading Reformation works that I've never heard before, and I'm thinking, where's this been my whole life?
Amen.
And I'm like these guys. And Tyndale is at this group study, and it's called the White Horse Inn, as they discuss Luther's writings, which is just recovery of the gospel, ancient paths of old. These men were converted, and they were converted to Christ, and they became reformed in their thinking. And 8 martyrs come out of this study. Tyndale is saved during this study because of the influence of Martin Luther. But Tyndale wants to go back and study some more. And as he goes back, he becomes a family chaplain to an elite landowner named Sir John Walsh. And while he's there as the chaplain, he preaches in village churches and he's preaching the Reformation truths as he's learning them and reading them and discovering them. And there's some traveling priests in England that stop by this estate of this wealthy landowner to have dinner. And of course, the conversation always turns to religion as they're talking around the table. And the priests want to speak of the wisdom and brilliance of the Pope and how his teaching must be followed above all other. Well, Tyndale pushes back, believing that the Bible, as the Word of God, is the only authority.
Amen.
Well, the priests push back on Tyndale at this estate, at this dinner, and they say this, quote, "We are better off with the Pope's law than with God's law," end quote. Tyndale, this leads him to say, "It will be my goal and my mission in life that a plowboy in the field will know more of the Word of God than the Pope in Rome." And that becomes his mission that drives him in life, realizing that most of England is simply lost and under darkness because of the ignorance of the Bible and the ignorance of the gospel. And he estimates the only way that England will be saved is that they've got to have a Bible in the English language. This becomes his ambition. As Luther is called to the Diet of Worms, he's kidnapped. He's taken to a castle in 1521 on the other side in Germany, and he translates the Bible into the German language. Tyndale uses this German Bible. He uses the Latin Vulgate. He uses the Greek text of the New Testament, and he puts together the Bible into the English language. 1523, a few years later, he goes to London to get permission to translate the Bible into the English language. He's sure that he'll have permission, but he's denied permission to do this. So that means it's a crime to translate the Bible into the English language. And so a wealthy businessman hears Tyndale preach in these churches in England. He meets Tyndale and he agrees to fund Tyndale's mission if he will take it on. What an amazing thing. This guy, no-name wealthy businessman, funds Tyndale's endeavors to become a criminal and to translate the Bible into English. An amazing thing. And as Tyndale does this, he becomes the most influential figure in English history. He literally starts to standardize the English language that we still speak today. There's no English dictionary until 1703. So as he's translating, he literally is standardizing the English language. An amazing, amazing thing. He's brilliant. And he goes over to Germany in Wittenberg and he meets with Martin Luther. And as he meets with Luther, he meets with another Greek scholar. He begins to learn Hebrew. I mean, he takes on another language. And Hebrew is incredibly, incredibly difficult to learn. It's very hard to study. And he takes on the task of learning Hebrew so he can translate the Old Testament from Hebrew into English. And from the New Testament, from the Greek into English. And as he goes, he gets to Germany. He completes the first ever New Testament English translation of the Bible. He finds a printer shop there to print all of these things. Well, as he's printing, as he completes it and he begins to print these copies, the men that work at the printer shop go down to the tavern. They have a few too much to drink, and they start talking about the project. Well, word gets out to the authorities, and they plan to come and seize all of Tyndale's work before he can get it all printed. Well, Tyndale hears about this, and he gathers up all his materials. He gets on a ship, and he's going to go up the river, and he has a shipwreck eventually. And after this shipwreck happens, he loses all of his work. And he starts all over again. I mean, nothing is going to deny Tyndale his work and his goal of bringing the Bible into the English language. By 1526, we have 6,000 copies of the English New Testament. And they were brought back into England, since it was a crime to do it there. He smuggles them into England, literally in bales of cotton. He stuffs all of these translations into cotton bales, takes it back into England in barrels and in all kinds of compartments and everything he can get it into. And as he gets it into England, it begins to get laid hold of by the preachers and by the fathers of the country. And the Reformation starts to be kindled there in England as people have a Bible in the English language for the first time. Sir Marcus Loewen said, Tyndale did what Luther had done, and he spoke straight to the heart of the common people. He said, if the message of the Bible is not foreign to the heart, its language should not be foreign to the ear. What a statement. This entire time, he's chased around by the authorities, unable to be located for 10 years. He is a criminal on the run, translating, copying, revising, editing. He takes the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. As he translates those, he literally gives an introduction to those and a glossary at the end of each book, which is the first ever English dictionary, as he translates and standardizes this language, putting the Bible into the hands of the common people as the Reformation just spreads. Well, 1536, he's tricked and betrayed and put into prison for 500 days. And this leads to him being burned at the stake as he dies. It was actually in October 1536 whenever they blew him up at the stake. They burned him, they put gunpowder around him, they strangled him, and they blew his body to bits. And this was the price he paid, and his crime was that he translated the Bible into the English language. I have this Bible today.
Yeah.
This man gave me a gift that not many people have ever given me.
Yeah.
An English Bible. 90% of the King James Bible was Tyndale's work. One man. Over 40 scholars couldn't improve on his work. As Paul told Timothy then, I tell you today here in chapter 1 and verse 14. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, listen, guard the good deposit that's been entrusted to you. My charge to you is what Paul told Timothy, I tell you, guard this good deposit.
Amen.
It is the basis for the Reformation, and even more than that, it will give you the words of eternal life and save you from hell forever. The words that are in this book. You have been handed the baton of the Reformation.
Amen.
My question to you is, what will you do with it? Lord, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this great servant of yours, this William Tyndale. Lord, who worked so hard, so tirelessly to translate the Bible into English. Lord, his works were destroyed many times. He was a criminal on the run, and he paid the ultimate price of giving his life for giving us a Bible. Lord, what a work he did. Created the English language, literally. Standardized it. Lord, thank you for the work of this man. I pray, Lord, there would be more Tyndales in our congregation today. Lord, we have other languages that are out there that they don't have a Bible in their language. Lord, we need some new Tyndales. We need some new reformers to take the Bible and to translate it into these foreign languages so people can have a copy of the words of eternal life. Lord, thank you for the work of this man. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Reformation. I pray that Jesus will get all the honor and glory for everything that's said and done. We thank you, Lord, so much for giving us a Bible that we can read, that we can study. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.